Welcome to the fourth episode of this Altus Group Tyson's Breakfast Panel podcast series. In this episode, we hear from panelist Steve Cumbie, CEO and principal of NV Commercial Inc., NV Retail, and Metro Realty Group.
Next to Fred, we've got Steve Cumbie with NV Commercial. Steve is CEO and principal of NV and its bevy of related companies. Steve's experience, as most of you know, in land development spans decades here in the D.C. area. And Steve has also been an advocate and board member of INOVA, which is one of Fairfax County's crowning jewels. And his fingerprints, as many of you know, have touched many of the area's most successful projects. We are very, very pleased to have Steve join us as well.
Never been on a panel with the sheriff before, so I've got to be careful what I say, but because I may have more land in front of him before this is all over. But in any event, I do want to go off script a little bit and say that I agree with most everything Fred said, and I want to give the county some credit. I've been zoning property in Fairfax County for over 30 years, and it's been a long time. And, you know, the process for the adoption of the comprehensive plan was a community-involved process, and it took a long time. But nonetheless, it's a daunting task when you think about 27 million square feet of office space and basically being a commuter market, to try to remake it into a series of metro-oriented mixed-use developments that constitute a city. I don't know that this has been done in the United States or anywhere else for that matter. So it's quite a daunting task that the county's undertaken. And fortunately, there are a lot of landowners that have participated in this. And Fred, I don't know why you should wonder, and I agree with you, that Metro wouldn't have happened without the tax district that was created by the landowners. But my gosh, we build the roads, we build the sewers, we build everything else. Why shouldn't we build Metro too? So, anyway, I want to talk a minute. Let's see. Is it this way? Did I go the wrong way? Yeah, okay. I'd do everything backwards, but. Okay, there we go. So, again, a map that everybody's seen. Tyson's basically a triangle, which is really interesting when you're trying to create a grid of streets on a triangle. And that's one of the things the county's trying to do. So think about that for a second. Grids of streets tend to want to be rectangles or squares, but not triangles. So it's a tough thing to do. Our project is a star, one that's starred there, which is at the corner of Route 7 and 123, really facing Route 7. And it was a series of small stores. Most of you have seen them over the years and maybe even shopped at some of them, but we assembled six pieces of property. I'd done an assemblage like that before at the Dunn-Loring Metro, but I was a lot younger. I forgot how old I was when I started this project. But anyway, we got them all assembled. It was a total of about 4 acres, and then we teamed up with Clyde's, which had 2 acres behind us, and went through the zoning process with them. They own their property, we own ours, so it's separate ownership, but we came up with a joint master plan that if it were built today, you couldn't tell who owns what because it's integrated and all works together. And so the zoning we got is a mixed-use zoning, which is typical around the metro stations, and we started assembling the ground in 2007, and our zoning was 2013. So it gives you a sense of how long it takes to get things done. Now, part of it was we had to work the zoning through the adoption of the comprehensive plan, which was important because the county was willing to take into account the at least the desires of the landowners that were at these metro stops that were being rezoned. Not that they did everything we wanted, but they at least we got a chance to state our case and make our points. And so that was important that we started early enough that we could have hopefully some influence on the comp plan as it relates to our properties. What came out of that is on 6 acres, could be up to about 2 million square feet. Well, if you do the math, I mean, that's a very high FAR for Fairfax County. I don't think it's ever been done before until we got this comp plan. And it's not too far off of what downtown D.C. is today. So that's that was a real achievement. And I give the county a lot of credit because they were moving from a much more suburban mentality, but really got the message and implemented it that if they were going to truly create an urban environment, walkable environment around these stations, they were going to have to adopt a much more urban perspective in terms of land planning and development, and they were able to do that. Let's see here. So this is kind of a sketch of what it should look like from an eagle's view at our station. See the station at the bottom there, which is the Greensboro station, which is on Route 7, right as the metro comes out of the tunnel. As you know, there's a short piece of tunnel that goes under the top of Tyson's, and then as it comes out going west, it's at that station, or going the other way, it's just before you go into the tunnel. And so, I mean, that looks almost like New York. I mean, it's definitely urban. So those buildings will be in the range of 28 to 32 stories, which are about really as tall as Mo was saying earlier as what you see in Roslyn. And so you think about what Roslyn looks like when you're in Georgetown looking back across the river. And not only that, but this is the highest point of Fairfax County. Actually, where the Wells Fargo building sits is the highest point in Fairfax County, and we're just off of that a few feet. So in terms of what they're going to feel like when you're up in the top of them, you're really going to, if it's a clear day, you'll see to West Virginia. I mean, it's going to be quite incredible views from the tops of these buildings. Let's see. Then this is actually a rendering of the first building that's under construction now in front of Clyde's. So even though we zoned and we're doing the infrastructure development, and let me tell you what, there's every utility known to man in that service drive in front of our property, and we're actually having to do tunneling under some of it to get in the new utilities. So it's been a slow go. We started doing that work back in spring of this past year, and we still got a ways to go, but we're now out of the way enough that the building can get started, and this is a 32-story building being built by Lennar Multifamily. So everybody's heard of Lennar, but this is a subsidiary of their home building company, which is called Lennar Multifamily, and they are building apartments around the country and are really trying to build up a portfolio of 10,000 units in a fairly short period of time. So it's a significant project, and they're now most of the way through their sheeting and shoring, and hopefully by the middle of the year you'll actually see some concrete in the air. But so that won't be completed though till late 18, because there's four levels underground, and so you're working the hole for a good while before you actually get out. I'm going to go back a slide for a second, and this building in the foreground is an office building that's been designed by Folger Pratt, and they are planning to do that building. They're still in front of the county. They've got to get their final development plan approved, and there should be hearings in late winter or spring, and then they've still got to get a site plan and building permit. So it's probably a 2018 start, and that again will be a two-year building. But it's a 350,000-foot office building that's got retail in the base. There's retail in the base of all these buildings, which is sort of what you see in the urban areas, whether it be D.C. or Boston or whatever. I now want to switch for a minute, and Ross asked me to talk about residential and Tyson's, and so to hopefully complement what Mo talked about in terms of office. And residential and Tyson's just didn't go in the same sentence for a long time. When the comprehensive plan was finalized in 2010, there were under 10,000 units in Tyson's, 17,000 residents, something like that. And that's really on a base of 25 million at that time, office space. I think that's about right. And over 100,000 office workers. Well, there's some data that's been developed by the planners and also the history around some of these transit-oriented developments in terms of the right balance of use is in order to get the feeling and the operation of those areas correct. And it's typically in the range of 4-to-1 or 5-to-1 in terms of office jobs to units. Well, Tyson's was at 11-to-1 when we started this process. So it was way out of balance. And one of the consequences of that is all the commuter traffic that you have and the problems with roads. So when Tyson's was started in the late 60s, 70s, you know, it wasn't that big a deal. But now, as we've gotten so much office space there, this imbalance has created all the traffic issues that we have. And so one of the objectives of the comp plan was to get a better balance of office and residential and retail so that you hopefully helped the traffic problem. Everybody said, well, gosh, all this new development in Tyson's, the traffic's going to be terrible. Well, if you had driven along through the Roslyn-Ballston corridor when it really got started after the Orange Line went in the 80s and drove it today, you'd find the traffic's pretty much the same or maybe even less because you've got live, work, play going on, and there are a lot of people living there that don't use their car to commute, maybe don't even have a car if you're living in the district. So I think it's possible that over time that the traffic could actually improve in Tyson's as this balance gets better. And it's going to take a while, obviously, because we were so imbalanced to begin with. But we're moving in the right direction. And the county helped that by really creating some incentives to do residential. And again, in order to try to seed the residential development. It also helped that the economy was such that the only thing you could finance coming out of the Great Recession was apartments. So the two of those together have put a real premium on residential development in the near-term period since the 2010 comp plan amendment adoption. And so what does that mean? Well, we're overbuilding apartments in the short run is what it means. Let's see here. I've got some numbers here that show what's happening in the apartment market now. And, you know, again, think that Tyson's only had like 9,500 units of residential when the plan was adopted. And then start adding up some of these numbers, and you see that what's already built is close to 3,000. There's another 1,800 units under construction, including the one at our site, the Lumen, which is Lennar's project, all the residential being built at the Borough, which is next door, which has been mentioned a couple times. And then just the near-term planning, and this isn't really all that's approved in Tyson's. It's really the ones that seem to be moving toward development. And you can see there's if all of that got built, you're doubling the amount of units in Tyson's in a fairly short period of time. Well, there's going to be some indigestion from that. There's no question about it. The good news is that the units get absorbed. The bad news is nobody's hitting their pro forma. So the rents are below what were pro forma'd and likely will be for some time. But nonetheless, there is a return. It's just not a return that you hope to get. Hopefully the return is going to be better than your blended cost of capital between the equity and the debt that you're using for these projects, so that at least they're throwing off some return. But it's not going to be knocking the cover off, at least for any time soon. But it's starting to get toward that issue of imbalance that the county wanted to see addressed and frankly needs to be addressed for Tyson's to work better. So one last slide. What about condos? Well, there are none that have been built since the comp plan amendment. However, there are several in the pipeline. The Arbor, which is Sonny Small's project, actually is, I don't know, do they have a building permit yet, Fred? Or I think they've got their site plan approved, but it should start this year. And so, you know, although maybe Fred doesn't like to say this, you can use the RB Corridor's development cycle as kind of a pattern. It's different because R.B. Carter, other than Roslyn, didn't have much office to begin with, and Tyson's does. I mean, Boston had almost no office when they started redevelopment under the new plan when the Orange Line went in. But so they were, in Arlington's case, they were trying to, and everybody, this was in the 80s, everybody wanted to build office. And as Mo said, we overbuilt office in the 80s, and that was the problem in the early 90s recession. So all of the developers in Boston in the 80s wanted to build the office. Well, the county, Arlington County, did a smart thing there, too. They made them build one residential building for each office building. And that kept Arlington in balance as it's gone through this development cycle. Now, Fairfax went one more and said, we got to incentivize residential. So there were several things. There are two road funds that everybody contributes to with new development around or in Tysons these days. One is the grid of streets, and the other is the Tysons Wide Road Fund. And the contribution of residential is minuscule compared to office and retail. And so that is one of the things helping the numbers, because as Fred said, residential didn't work in Tysons for such a long time because of land costs. Well, the two ways to combat that were incentivizing through the proffer system and contributions, and also allowing density, because you know there's no limit on residential density under the new comp plan in Tysons. There is for office, and you know there's some variances that can be obtained, but residential you can build as much as you want. So anyway, those two changes have really brought down the effective land costs for residential in Tysons and have allowed all these projects to go ahead. And all the ones so far pretty much have been concrete structure buildings, which are the most expensive way to build residential. The mixed motif buildings of the podium, concrete podium parking and stick above is an order of magnitude less expensive. And on that chart I had, there are going to be several of those built. But they're not going to be right at Metro because you can't afford to sell the land to get that lower level of density on those projects. So they're all going to be high rises at the Metro, I think. One exception might be JBG. They've got at Tysons West one podium site. They've got one that's going to be a concrete frame as well. But I think I've overstayed my welcome here. But anyway, I'm going to try to get through. But the last point I was going to make is that what you saw in the RB corridor is all of the residential early on were apartments. And why? Well, think about it. If you're going to rent an apartment, if you don't like it, you can leave in a year. If you buy a condo, you're making a real investment. And until the infrastructure, meaning not just roads and metro, but also bars and restaurants and all of that, and it's happening. You see it. You guys are going to it. There's one in this building right now that wasn't here, you know, 6 months ago. So once that infrastructure starts filling in, then you'll see people that really do want to live more in Tysons on an indefinite basis, and then we'll start investing in the condos. But that's why it's slow to start now. And the other thing is nobody's going to build a 300-unit condo building or 400-unit condo building. If it's a high-rise, you can't stop once you start, and you can't get enough pre-sales to make the financing really work. So you got to be wealthy like Lerner and build it out of pocket if you're going to do it. But anyway, they're going to be smaller projects, as you can see here. I mean, there's one that says 160. I doubt if they actually build that many. But there's going to be somewhere around 120 to 130, 40 units, which is enough to take a risk on. And you'll see some built, including this first one in Arbor Row this year. So with that,
thank you
to my esteemed colleague.
This has been an exclusive Altus Group podcast. Stay tuned for the fifth and final episode in this series, where we learn from panelist James Policaro, Senior Vice President of Development and Construction for Lerner Enterprises.